Hey everybody, welcome to our new video series, Juggernaut X. This is going to be the story of the last 10 years of Juggernaut Train Systems, which is kind of like my life story for the last 10 years. So make sure you click that little thumbs up down there, like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching. So I'd finished 2010 on this sort of exciting note of doing my first powerlifting meet, doing really well, releasing the book, The Juggernaut Method, which, side note about that, is like, I called it The Juggernaut Method. There weren't a bunch of other books out there called The Something Method. And since then, there's been a lot of books called The Something Method, so I should have TM'd the word The Something Method as far as books for lifting go, and I could have made dozens of dollars probably since then. But I start 2011, on this sort of high of excitement about competing in powerlifting. I began working with Josh Bryant. I also had a very cool opportunity, I think in January 2011, right to start the year, where the magazine Muscle and Fitness, one of the most famous magazines in this space, something that I think if you're the right age, you grew up reading and kind of getting motivated by that to lift weights and get big and strong. I never really had much of an interest in bodybuilding, but it was still something that I was like, wow, this is a big deal. They sell this magazine all over the world. That came about through a guy named Bob Eilenfelt. Some people may know him as the Angry Coach. It was a writer for Elite FTS, and definitely lived up to his name. He was an angry guy, but he had taken a job as one of the senior editors for Muscle and Fitness and moved out to the LA area from New York right about the time that I started Juggernaut. So I was one of the few people he knew in Southern California, so we became friends, and he created this opportunity for me. And Muscle and Fitness showed up with the photographer and the lights and all this cool stuff, and to follow me around for the day while I did the workout, and it was really a surreal experience. Something I've never, I'd never had anything like that, and I probably never had anything like it since. But went in, did the workout, a similar kind of feeling of pressure that I put on myself as when I went into the first powerlifting meet, like, you have to make this 800 pound squat or no one is going to buy your book. Well, the day they came to film, I was going to try and squat 700 for five, in reps, which was, be a big PR for me at the time. And I said, if, you miss a rep here, you're going to look like an asshole. They're probably not even going to put you in the magazine anymore. So you got to do it. So I made the 700 for five squat, took a lot of pictures. It was kind of this funny day at the gym because, my buddies were there hanging out, and they're, giving me shit, behind the camera while I'm trying to make these tough, intimidating kind of faces. And that's, not my personality really, but we went for it for the thing. And it opened up the book, because, we actually put the entire program, The Juggernaut Method, in that issue of Muscle and Fitness. And it's probably where the most people found it. And led more people to buy the book. So it's something I'm, eternally grateful to Bob for. It was a really awesome opportunity. And, that 700 for five squat was early in the training cycle. My first with Josh, as I pushed towards my second powerlifting meet, which I did in March 2011, I totaled 21.65 at 308. I think that moved me up to the number three total in the world, behind Andre Milanchev and a guy named Dan Kovacs in the 308s class. And I went 8 for 9 there, and I was lifting in an SPF Pro-Am meet, glorious event, Days in Ballroom in Knoxville, Tennessee. And, Westside was there, and Big Iron, and mostly Multiply lifters. So I lifted on the amateur day against the amateur Multiply lifters myself. Robert Wilkerson made the first 1,000-pound raw squat there, and it was kind of this unique experience. And I think a lot of the SPF fans and lifters that were there were a bit confused by what I was doing, and probably are still confused by it, and they're thinking like, oh, why in the hell is that guy taking those steps back out of the monolift? That's not how it's supposed to work. Yeah, and I'm walking my squats out of the monolift and squatting to depth and doing all kinds of weird stuff like that. But it was a very fun day. You know, I think it gave me a real big boost in you know, the powerlifting community to make this big total of really high quality lifts on 865, 515, 785, just barely missed 800 pound deadlift. It was a good time. And so as my powerlifting career continued to grow, the Juggernaut Method book became more and more popular. I was writing a lot more articles, still not really into YouTube or anything at the time. Like, we'd do videos here and there, but you know, YouTube powerlifting was not a thing the way that it is now. I maybe wish I would have had some more foresight for that, but we're just kind of putting up training videos and that was fun. But so that side of the business was growing a lot, the kind of online side and my role in the powerlifting community. But powerlifting was so much smaller then. Like, I did powerlifting at Juggernaut Train Systems, this gym in Laguna Hills, California, but we were not a powerlifting gym. I was the only powerlifter. I don't think that a powerlifting gym really could have existed, at least not the scale that I was thinking of in 2011, because the sport wasn't big enough. When I did that first meet, the first ever USPA meet, it was 36 lifters maybe, and you know, you could tell everyone there was a powerlifter. Like, you could tell by looking at them. Where, you know, fast forward to 2017, 2018, 2019, and now you could drive an hour in any direction from here in Orange County every weekend and find a USPA or a USAPL meet with over 100 lifters. And, you know, from 12-year-old kids to, you know, your grandma is doing powerlifting, everything in between. But at the time, we were a sport performance gym. You know, I was doing this powerlifting stuff and that was cool. But that wasn't the business, and the online stuff wasn't the business. And the in-person business, we were doing okay, but I think it's, you know, we actually started to break even pretty quickly after only about 6 months of being open. But getting past that to like a real profitable level was very challenging, and it was something we were struggling to do. So as the year went on, you know, we continued to struggle with this, and it became more and more stressful. So, you know, it was working really hard, training as many people as we can, making all the calls, you know, marketing in as hard as we could through that summer. And I did another powerlifting meet there, squad 905 was at the time the American record at 308. So I was pumped on that. But right about that same time, Nate, who I started Juggernaut with, who had been so, you know, integral to the last, you know, 3 years of the company, or 2.5 years, and you know, we're best friends, roommates, all this stuff, told me that he wanted to move home to North Carolina. And that was like really tough, and you know, he was still, he gave me plenty of heads up and everything like that. So yeah, he went about it totally the right way, and I understood he wanted to be back closer to his family and do that stuff. But it was really a stressful time of like, you know, who else can I do this with? Nate and I had a great and a complementary relationship where, you know, my strengths could take care of some of his weaknesses and vice versa. So this search for another coach to come in and someone began, and I, you know, was incredibly fortunate to have the opportunity to hire James Smith, the Thinker, if you're familiar with him from Elite FTS. Global Sport Concepts is his company now. At the time, it was called Power Development Inc. And he had been a physical preparation coach, and I don't want to say strength and conditioning coach when talking about him, for the University of Pittsburgh's football team. They'd gotten a new head coach. New coach wanted to bring in his own guys. Terrible decision for that head coach, Todd Graham, only lasted a year. But, you know, he let go of James Smith and Buddy Morris, two of the greatest strength coaches in the world. But it did give me the opportunity to hire James. And in doing that, you know, in hindsight, certainly, and I kind of knew at the time, it's probably overextending myself as a, you know, or overextending the company from a financial standpoint, but it began, you know, the next year from this time, late 2011. I think Nate moved back to North Carolina right at the end of 2011. And so there was a couple months of overlap where both Nate and James were here. But from this time in late 2011, I think James arrived in about September to the following year, where I got beyond a master's in, you know, physical preparation, strength and conditioning, all these aspects from getting to spend time with James. So it was, you know, just a remarkable opportunity. I can't think of anyone else who I would have been able to bring into that position who could have helped me grow as much as a coach as James did, expand my knowledge. So through all this stressful time of my business partner and my best friend, you know, wanting to leave the company, you know, as tough as that was and as stressful as it was, it became a great thing as from a personal development or a coaching development standpoint. But with that said, as I mentioned, we were already, you know, having a tough time kind of taking things to the next level financially for the in-person business. The online stuff was, you know, cool that I had the book and that was selling, but we were, you know, right there breaking even, and then brought in a new, you know, kind of higher priced coach, and that made the end of 2011 tough, a very stressful time where I had tried to train for another meet right at the end of 2011. And on that 905 squat a few months prior, that was great. I didn't finish the meet that as well as I would have liked to, and kind of injured my hip in it. And then this hip injury lingered for several months as I tried to prepare for another meet. My head wasn't in it. It was, you know, with the business, with the stress of Nate leaving and trying to sort that whole situation out and trying to make things go. So I lifted very, very poorly there, and it was about November 2011. Took two squats, missed them both, and just left. And stormed out of the meet, to be honest, a bit embarrassing looking back at it. But at that point, I was like, you know, I can't focus on powerlifting right now. I need to focus on making this business go. So I think when I walked away from that meet, I, at least for the time being, and it wouldn't be the you know, the last time I would make this decision in my life, but I said I can't do powerlifting anymore. I'm done doing powerlifting. In my mind, I was done doing it at that time. I said I got to make the business go, and that's, you know, sort of how I finished 2011. Was, all right, I did powerlifting, I squatted 900, I made this big total, that's cool, but I gotta take care of, you know, number one here, and number one is our in-person business. So, you know, it was a stressful finish to 2011. Was certainly a time of change, of transition, for myself and for the company.